Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
That's right. Clint Sterner is out, but Wade Smith, former Houston Texan, is in, and I'm jumping right out. I'm giving you fellas three quarterbacks. Text line, you can jump in on this as well. These, I think, could be real possibilities for the Texans to be their starting quarterback next year. Now, you got to think about this in two ways. Tyrod Taylor, the former quarterback, came out of Virginia Tech, most recently played with the Chargers until that position messed up his career. Alex Smith, he does have two legs. Alex Smith, who played for Washington last year and helped them get to the playoffs. And then you know him very well, A.J. McCarron, a guy that Clint Sterner says, and I quote, has to be the guy the Texans bring in their quarterback. Those three guys, here it is, Wade. Who do you think should be the candidate if you had to choose between those three, Tyrod Taylor, Alex Smith, A.J. McCarron, and then who do you think the Texans would pick?
So I'm going to say this, man. If I'm choosing between these three guys, that means that the Texans did not do what they were supposed to do, and they didn't trade Deshaun Watson. Because if you trade Deshaun Watson, you're either starting the rookie quarterback, you're starting a Sam Darnold, you're starting a Tua Tagovailoa.
They might want to take it slow with the rookie.
I think in this scenario, if you're starting one of these three guys, I'm already upset that we're talking about these three guys because Deshaun is at the crib chilling, and we still got a cloud over our head as we're trying to figure out how we're going to go forward.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him.
With that being said, if I had to pick between those three guys, I'm going to rank them. I'm not going to just pick one. I'm going to rank them.
Go ahead.
Give me Alex Smith number one.
Really?
Tyrod Taylor number two. And then A.J. McCarron as a far back number three. But Alex Smith, I know what I'm going to get. Alex Smith and Tyrod Taylor both coming off of injury. Tyrod Taylor, his injury definitely was not self-inflicted. It was nothing he could do about it. He got his ribs broken
ribs
or whatever.
Broken when he was going for like a massage.
Yeah, no, the trainer there just really jacked him up and cost him his job and vaulted Justin Herbert into, you know, stardom. But Tyrod Taylor, he's a guy. He's the consummate bridge guy. He's a guy that's not going to throw any interceptions. He's not going to make mistakes. He's also not going to throw that many touchdowns. But he's a great leader. If you watched him on Hard Knocks, you can see, or maybe it was a Hard Knocks, maybe it was the one on Amazon Prime. What's it called? Nothing. All or Nothing. So he was in one of those. But Tyrod Taylor, you can tell he's like what you want as a leader in the locker room, ultimate, you know, consummate professional. But when I'm talking about ceilings and potential and what I can get out of him in production, Alex Smith is the best guy. Alex Smith is. He's the most talented guy of the three. He can throw it. He's not going to run it like he used to run it, but he used to be pretty mobile. But to me, I'm hands down. Give me Alex Smith one, Tyrod Taylor number two, and then A.J. way back down to number three.
Yeah, I think I'd say Tyrod just because I think at this moment with the leg situation with Alex Smith, and he showed he can play with it, but with the leg situation with Alex Smith, the mobility, I think there's maybe a little something extra you can get out of Tyrod Taylor, and he's younger. And I like his leadership as well.
How much younger is Tyrod Taylor than Alex Smith? I feel like they're around the same age, aren't they?
Alex Smith came out in Rodgers' draft.
I mean, Tyrod Taylor won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, bro. Like, think Tyrod Taylor's kind of old now. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Alex Smith is 5 years older. He's 36.
5 years older?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. He's got to be 36 or 37. Rodgers is 37. Yeah.
So Tyrod's 32.
Yeah, Tyrod played.
I mean, he's not going to improve as a quarterback, though. He is what he is. It's not like, you know, he's coming into year four. He's rounding. He is an established quarterback
of
what he is.
All three of them are established of what they can be.
Right.
Right. There's no growth. Even with you, age, there's no growth. I'm with you. A.J. McCarron is a distant third.
Yeah.
But I would go with Tyrod Taylor. I just think there's more that you can do with him with his legs.
So to y'all, is it too much value put on A.J. McCarron already knowing this system and being familiar with the team?
Yes, because I don't even know if we know what the
system
is.
The only people that know who the system's going to be is at NRG.
And he played with Pep Hamilton was with the Chargers last year.
So there's a great connection there between Pep Hamilton and Tyrod Taylor. If you're Tyrod Taylor and you have opportunities to go to different franchises, we kind of talked about it in the segment before about how, you know, Vance Joseph was a catalyst to get J.J. Watt to go to Arizona. Pep Hamilton is a guy on the roster, on the coaching staff, that could be a legitimate catalyst to get Tyrod Taylor to come here to Houston. I just think if Tyrod Taylor is your option at quarterback, you know, what type of team are you putting out there, and how competitive are you really going to be? Because, you know, that's a fall going from Deshaun Watson to Tyrod Taylor.
Well, it's going to be a fall. I go Taylor, Alex Smith, and AJ McCarron. Now, the fun time. How do you think the Texans rank?
Oh,
in terms of what the Texans want, how do you think they rank?
Well, A.J. McCarron is a guy that they know. Alex Smith is a guy that fits them to a T. Even Tyrod Taylor, all of those guys fit them to a T of the type of guys that they would want. Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, flip a coin. I think they would evaluate them on what they can do, how productive they could be for the Texans. And so I think Nick Caserio would evaluate them and say the same way I say, Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, and then A.J. McCarron. Now, Pep Hamilton being in the room and saying, hey, I really believe in Tyrod Taylor, that could be a determining factor where they bring Tyrod in over Alex Smith. But does Alex Smith want to come here? Is this how he wants to finish out his career? I don't know about that. You know, does Tyrod Taylor want to come here? I think Tyrod Taylor would look at it as a great opportunity. So the guy that ends up coming, based off of the scenario, I think the most likelihood of it would be Tyrod Taylor, because Alex Smith, I think, is going to have multiple spots that he can end up. Alex Smith could end up in Chicago. Why not? Why could he not end up in Chicago? You know, why could he not end up in Jacksonville? You know, not Jacksonville, but why could he not end up in Denver or in Carolina? Or places like that are looking for quarterbacks. Like, why could he not end up there? I don't know.
The text line is just in refusal of even using the names and candidates we've given. People are just writing in their own. Fitzmagic keeps coming in. Someone then ranked Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Andy Dalton. These people are in refusal. I tell you what.
I think all three of those guys. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick the most out of those three he named, or she named, whoever that was.
I think AJ would be higher in their thoughts. I do think them knowing him would help. I think he would be the cheapest. Which
they got to spend some money though. There is a salary cap floor that they have to.
But I think he'd be the cheapest, and I think they would have no pushback in any way from A.J. McCarron in a way that I think they could with a veteran like Alex Smith and a veteran like Tyrod Taylor. I think those are some things that mean that you have to look at and say, oh, that could be something.
I feel like if they were to go the route that you're talking about and choose A.J. McCarron, you're basically saying, all right, we don't want to win more than four games this
year. I'm not saying that they would choose him. They only won four last year with Deshaun. But I'm not saying they would choose him. I'm saying he would be higher up than I think we view him. Because I think we both view him as a distant third. I could see him being in the two hole maybe. Them.
He's had opportunities to play, and there's sometimes he's been out there where he's did all right, and then there's other times where he didn't look very good when he had his opportunities to play. And we haven't seen him play in a long time just because there was no preseason last year. He played that last game of the season, I believe the year before, because they were getting ready for the playoffs. That was a game against the Titans where that allowed him to get into the playoffs, if I remember right. But I don't remember looking at the game and saying, yeah, if Deshaun goes down, I'm very confident in what I'm going to get out of A.J. McCarron. So, you know, with all that being said, man, I look at the options. Everybody named ahead of him, I would put ahead of him. Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton.
With you.
All of those guys.
I'm with you. And a lot of guys you'd have put over David Culley, too.
Blue 80, easy, white 90.
Can we move to the draft? I love this. This is a player to me that I think may have a chance to be top three player in this draft once it's over. Like one in 5 years, 5-6 years, we look at it. I love Jaylen Waddle. He would be.
How could you not?
Well, they got him running as the third receiver in the draft. Ja'Marr Chase, yeah, and Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner at Alabama, his teammate, has been looked at being picked in front of him.
Yeah.
But I think Jaylen Waddle, if I had my druthers to pick the receiver, it would be him because of the big play ability. I can understand the consistency and route running from the other two, but the big play ability – the fear that Jaylen Waddle is going to put in defensive backs and coordinators, he to me is the closest thing that I've seen real. Like, I thought Henry Ruggs was close to the Tyreek Hill mode.
Yeah.
I think Jaylen Waddle is even better. He to me would be the top receiver I would take. And I think he's going to be a top three guy in this draft.
Yeah, no question about it. I love everything that Jaylen Waddle brings to the table. He went to Episcopal High School here in Houston, Texas, man. So you got the local flavor to him. I tell you what, if he never gets hurt, to me, he wins the Heisman before Devontae Smith wins the Heisman. That's just Jaylen Waddle.
The return game,
that
too.
That talent. He's just.
You see his return against LSU a couple years ago? Good God almighty.
I mean, he looked like he was playing with little kids. Like, remember, you know, in Pop Warner when you play Little League football where there's always that one kid that you just give him the ball. And it don't matter what you do on defense, it don't matter. It's not even a good play call. He's just going to take the ball, run to the left, run to the right, run to the left again, and then take it 90 yards to the house. That's Jaylen Waddle. And he's doing it against guys that are his contemporaries. So, yeah, I like the comparison to Tyreek Hill as far as his physical traits.
It will depend on what offense and what quarterback he goes to, because a good quarterback situation, unless you're DeAndre Hopkins, can absolutely kill you. And make you, especially if it's an offense that doesn't use your skills, right? But he's got a chance. Like Tyreek Hill obviously went to the perfect place with the play designer, and then he had the best quarterback ever invented to go with his skill set.
Oh, thank you. That is awesome.
That's right. And so, man, that'd be like, boy, like if Buffalo could get their hands on him or something.
Why are you
like,
trying to give him to Buffalo? Buffalo has enough weapons already. What are you doing? Yeah, they got Stephon Diggs. They got
Diggs.
What's my other guy? The rapper.
A rapper.
What's my rapper?
That's what I was about to
say. He'd be nice on the other side. Bro. I mean, I respect John Brown.
They got John Brown too. Like, yeah. John Brown was injured, John Brown played very well before he got hurt and when he got back.
Jaylen Waddle.
Huh?
Take a seat if you can get Jaylen Waddle.
I mean, you don't need the rich to get that much richer. Give him to somebody else. Like, come on now.
I'm just thinking of quarterbacks. Like, I think him and Josh Allen. Josh Allen's big arm. Like, it would be a great combination. Like, ooh.
Yeah, they ain't picking high enough to get Jaylen Waddle. Jaylen Waddle's not going to be on the board after Carolina Panthers. He's top 10 guy. Top 8.
Jaylen Waddle, he would be my guy if I were picking receivers. All right, this is the real thing that I think is upsetting Houston fans with James Harden returning. And it doesn't have anything to do with James. Tyler, you'll believe me and you'll agree with me by the end of the segment. It doesn't have anything to do with James. But there's a real reason why you're upset as he returns, and it's going to remind you of it. That's coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
There you go, picking it up. Tonight's a big night here in Houston. James Harden, prodigal son, he returns home.
We bringing it back to H-Town.
That's right. That's what he said, and that stings Tyler every time he hears it. And then, listen, Tyler, he's ticked off. And listen, I was getting crushed on the text line, and it felt good because I was right, but I was getting crushed yesterday line because I said obviously his jersey should be retired. And just all the Harden conversation. But look, I know it didn't end great, Wade. right? And you knew how bad he wanted out, and you could see it. But I think the real reason why people are upset about James Harden and when he comes in is when he comes in and you see him, you immediately look at your team and you say, we failed in this trade. We failed in this trade because we all knew we weren't, oh my God, James wants out? When it was first reported that James Harden wants out and Brooklyn or Philadelphia were the teams, nobody was like, oh my God, James doesn't want to be here anymore. Nobody was shocked. You knew that was going to happen. When that season ended, when Daryl Morey left and said he wanted to be with his kids and then immediately got another job, and when Mike D'Antoni refused, decided on the plane coming back from the bubble that he was not going to come back.
He went up going to coaching with coaching with Steve Nash.
Yes.
As an assistant.
As
coach.
An assistant. He didn't want to come back. He had a chance to be a head coach here with James Harden.
Like, I'm cool.
It was good.
I'm
and
cool.
Russell Westbrook. Like, you, when all that happened, nobody was floored that James Harden wanted out. And then I think most people became understanding that he's going to be gone. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
When? But what you aren't settling, what's not settling well with you is, did we get what we needed to get out of this trade? Because you were always going to lose it because you were trading away one of the best players in the game. But you had to get back at least something that would make you feel good. You had to get at least a guarantee. And that's not any of the picks because as the NBA is as any other sport, as any sport, it's so flip of the coin. You could get LeBron James number one, or you could get Michael Olajuwon. You could get Steph Curry at number eight, or you could get Tim Thomas at number eight. Actually had a decent
Tim
career.
Thomas, I'm about to say he had a good career, decent man. Career. Don't disrespect Tim Thomas like that.
I mean, it's just up and down where you can get him. You don't know. Draymond is in the second round somewhere.
Yeah.
Or you don't know. Bam Adebayo's 12. You don't know. You had to get something out of the deal, young, that you could control, that was an, at least a potential all-star. And so with the decision they made going with Brooklyn and then bringing in the Pacers, the sign was, well, Victor Oladipo is going to be that guarantee. That's going to be the thing that we know. We may not know what the picks are, but 28-year-old Victor Oladipo is going to be the guy. But hell, now you try to offer him the most amount of money that you possibly could, and he turned it down. That means you don't have the guarantee anymore. You just failed at that trade. You had to get Ben Simmons. You had to, and I know that, and I said it just because I knew that would get that face and that reaction.
Just frowned up.
But ugh. You had to get Ben Simmons, the all-star, right now. You had to get him because he's young, controllable. He wasn't going to jet. You just signed a deal. You had him the next 3 or 4 years. You had him. That was a guarantee where at least you could be sitting here and saying, all right, we got multiple first-round picks and multiple picks, and we got Ben Simmons and Christian Wood to start with. Now you got Christian Wood because Vic has turned down the best offer you can offer him. And I think that's what pisses you off when you see James Harden is, we knew we were going to trade him, but you got to hit this trade. You got to hit this thing. And you didn't. And it is becoming very, very apparent. Losing streak after losing streak after losing streak that you have failed at this trade already.
Yeah, when you look at When the trade first went down and you realize you're getting John Wall and then they make another trade and now you're getting Victor Oladipo, you're like, all right, matching with Christian Wood. And it started looking good at the beginning. But then when Christian Wood went out, you said to yourself, all right, now this talent on this roster is not good enough for you to even compete. And so that's a tough pill to swallow. I'm not a big fan of the whole Simmons deal because with Simmons comes expectations, and I don't ever think he's going to be that guy on his own. He already has Embiid in Philly right now, so that's why I think they have a shot because Embiid is playing out of this world. He's an MVP candidate, but you're not going to find another Embiid. I don't think Christian Wood's ceiling is Embiid. I mean, you could hope for that. You can pray for that.
No, but you got
you can't expect that.
But you got two young players, and Ben Simmons is an all-star, and he is a guy that other players would want to come to play for, and play with, and you have that in hand, but you know you have him because he's got a contract that he can't get out of. Vic had a decision that he was going to make, and I'm thinking to myself when they bring him over. In their minds, they know they can have him long term.
I don't think it's absolutely a done deal that they can't figure out a contract situation with him to sign and trade him. I don't think we've passed that point yet. I don't think we have. I think that they can, because Oladipo was not a guy when he came here that I thought to myself, you're going to build around him. To me, he was a piece to get somebody that you want to build around. Victor Oladipo is not a guy that you build around. He's a guy that's a good player, that, you know, all-star borderline guy, but he's not a guy to build around.
Well, what do you think you could get from this guy? I do think now the best thing potentially with him is to trade him. But what are you getting? Like, what are you going to get in return?
Well, who knows? That's a Raphael Stone question. Just like trying to ask Jeff Luhnow before he made some of those trades to get Greinke or to get Verlander. Like, well, those deals came out of nowhere. But they do their due diligence and they use certain pieces to get the big piece that's actually going to help you. That's what Oladipo, him being traded here to me, that was what he was going to provide here for the Rockets. But Rockets fans had to have known that after you trade James Harden, you're going to be a bad team. Like them winning those six games in a row, that was just like it was fool's gold. But it was like, hey, this is cool. They actually look like a good team. But you had to have known that the team was not going to be competitive any further. You could hope that it was going to go the other way, but you couldn't have known. Now, if you would have traded for Ben Simmons, to me, you would have had a younger version of what you had with James Harden, but not as good. As far as a guy that's going to, like you said, get people to want to come around him, but to me, I'm not a believer in him that he can win a championship in Houston. He can compete for a championship in Philly because he has Embiid there and they got other pieces around him. But how do you find that Embiid here in Houston? He's not the superstar that you build around. He's the number two. And so in order to get the number one, you either got to draft him or you got to utilize a bunch of pieces like Oladipo and Wall to get the number one to build around.
But when you have the piece, as we're talking about, this is what I think really hurts Rockets fans with James Harden, is you can look at it and look at your team when he comes into town. It is a huge reminder that you've already lost and failed this trade. Is you have to get, when you have a piece like James Harden you're trading, you have to get a bona fide guarantee of something, you know. Like Anthony Davis. They trade Anthony Davis and they didn't just get Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart.
Right.
Nope. They got Brandon, what is his
Brandon
name?
Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, they got Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
A guy that you think could be a potential star. That's something that you gotta get. And if Victor Oladipo was what you thought it was, well, you better be able to have him in the fold. Now I'm with you. I would have never thought I'd want him over Ben as to be the guarantee thing, but you had to get something. It couldn't have just been the picks because James Harden's too good to not have gotten something that's guaranteed. And when you look at what the Pelicans did in their trade, they go get Lonzo. Out of this deal, they get Lonzo. They get Brandon Ingram. They get Josh Hart. Like, they got guys to come over, and then you get Ingram, and you're like, okay, now we got a young star, and then things that happen here. They had to get Ben Simmons.
I just look at it like there was no real good trade to be made. And Ben Simmons, it would have been fool's gold. Like, you would have had a guy that was a legitimate player, but his skill set is not going to be conducive to win a championship here in Houston. Because how long would it take for you to get those pieces around him to get you to compete? But at the same time, because he's Ben Simmons and he's young superstar, people will think, yeah, we can put this piece here and there. I don't see the
decision because some people are going to look like, oh, we might have expectations. Like you, like,
well, to me, the Rockets were in a situation where you're either going to keep James Harden to keep competing, or are you going to take a huge step back and try to build from the ground up? And so I think that's what they did. They brought in guys that could be tradable assets in the future, and they're going to try to build from the ground up. And it's looking like they're going to build around Christian Wood. That's the way it's looking right now. Any way you slice it, it was a bad situation. I think that's why the way James Harden went out the way he went out, as far as forcing his way out the door, is why Houston Rockets fans are so upset with them, because it's like, we had you here all these years. We gave you everything you wanted. You gave us everything you had, but it wasn't good enough. And then now that you're leaving us stuck in this terrible predicament. And so it's a terrible taste in everyone's mouth. And so that's why Tyler doesn't want to put his name up and put his jersey up on the rafter.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? And he's not the only one that feels that way. And so, I mean, it was a situation where you was damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I just didn't see a great deal to be had. But Ben Simmons, I guess you could have got excited about that. I wouldn't have gotten excited about it. I would have just thought to myself, well, I mean, they'll be able to be competitive. But, is that what – or are you trying to win a championship again at some point? And sometimes you got to take a step back in order to make that leap forward.
Wade Smith, who played 12 years in the NFL, there is at least maybe I'm doing it, but I feel like there are several people out here doing it. You played in the league. Are we overblowing and making a bigger deal about something happening with the Texans? As a former player, you would know. We'll get that answer coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
I want to hit you with this question, because I think a big thing is we look at what's happening in Houston. Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner. Clint's on his honeymoon. We look at the Texans and look and say, God, man, who in the hell would want to come here? Some people may make, I think, which you could believe, thoughts of maybe that's why they ended up with David Culley, because who in the hell wants to come here? Maybe that's why they ended up with Nick Caserio, because who in the hell wants to come here? Although I think Jack had a lot to do with that. But there's a thought of, you can't get people to want to come here. Deshaun's leaving. JJ wanted out. People in the front office wanted out. You can't get people to come here. Is that overblown? Is that overblown for players in the league? I can sit here and say, and I know Tyler probably feels the same way, but I can sit here as a media guy / fan and look at it and say, God, why would Brandon Cooks even think of restructuring a deal? Why would he want to stay here? Who would want to come here? How real is that? Is that me overblowing that, or people overblowing that, or do players in the league really think that way?
I think it depends on the level of the player. If you're a top-tier free agent, and you're looking at multiple destinations that you can go to, and you got multiple offers on the table, it for sure can come into play that would keep someone saying, yeah, I'd rather not go there. When you're talking about a third tier, fourth tier free agent, young guys that are getting drafted, guys are just looking for opportunity, guys that don't have a lot of options, they'll be willing to go to any situation. Hey, it's one of 32 teams. I know if you heard that statement before. It's one of 32 teams, so you're going to go.
So basically, the player equivalent of David Culley?
I'm just saying that was said, and that is a legitimate sentiment. But think about the type of guys I'm describing to you that have that mentality. Hey, it's one of 32 teams. It's an opportunity. I'm going to go take it. And there's guys that are like that that'll come out and play excellent. They'll have a great year for you, or play above and beyond of what you ever would have thought you'd get out of them. But at the same time, if that's what you master in, if that's what you are always having to deal with, the chances of you being a success, it drops tremendously. It's just a very difficult way to go about doing business. So that's something that Nick Caserio is going to have to deal with, because there's going to be situations to where he's got to take into account something that he otherwise might not have. And you want to eliminate any type of uncertainty. You want to eliminate any type of distractions, anything that can keep you from bringing in the guy that you want. Now, one might say, well, hey, the guys that we want are going to want to be here because they like what we've built here in our culture. And I get that. In a lot of respects, that's true. But I think you're minimizing, you're eliminating a lot of candidates, and you're minimizing the pool of candidates that you can bring in. And when you operate like that, it makes it just that much harder for you to be successful. A lot of the things that have been said coming from over there is, hey, the hardest thing, you know, usually the hard way is the right way. Usually the way that makes more sense and the way that is logical and the way that, you know, you get the best player that produces and does things the right way. But you notice I said the one that is productive and can play. Those are the first things that come out of my mouth because those are the most important things. Can you play? Can you produce? Because this is a players' league. If you can play at a high level, you give yourself a chance to win. If you don't have players, you can't win. And so Nick Caserio is going to have to deal with the fact that, hey, apparently, based off of everything that we've heard and the type of moves that they made, the type of people that they paid, the type of people that they sent away, is that the pool of talent that they're trying to pull from is less than the other 31 teams in the NFL. And so when you operate in that manner, it makes it your job just that much more difficult.
See, because that's what I was wondering. Because some things with athletes, it's overblown. There's sometimes where fans or media people will say things that are overblown. But this is one that I will wonder because, yes, if you have options, as you're saying, if you have options, this situation would stop you. Like, you would potentially choose another option. Now, obviously, we know guys at the top, you know, top free agents. But, shoot, man, if you – what are something the Texans need? If you're a guard or a center that has options, would you look to not – because – not to come here as another place if you have options? Because, dude, man, I don't – that seems to be really dysfunctional. And nobody – people don't, if they have options, want to run towards – what is perceived to be dysfunctional.
So look at it like this. All right, Corey Lindsey, he's a free agent center for the Green Bay Packers. His old coach used to be Campen, the new offensive line coach that's here in Houston. All right, that's a great connection. But as a center, you want to know, who is my quarterback going to be? Who am I going to be snapping the ball to? That's very, very important. Now, could Lindsey still come here because of his relationship with the offensive line coach, and he says, you know what, even though there's some uncertainty at the quarterback spot, I'm going to still come. But the fact that he even has to take that into consideration is a problem in itself, because now you're opening yourself up to another person coming in and swooping in and say, hey, well, I have this relationship with somebody else at this place, this other team, and I have an option to go there too. Maybe I will go there. And you lose out on a player you otherwise would have had based off of what's going on. That's a real life situation that can happen. Because it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's a guy that the Texans target because of the connection there and the fact that he can play. He would be an upgrade at the position. But does the uncertainty at the quarterback spot give him pause and say, maybe I need to look somewhere else and maybe I'll go somewhere else, and then you lose out on that player? That's why having buy-in by your quarterback is such an important factor, because you build your team around that. And so just having Deshaun sit, it doesn't make sense. Send them away, and then whoever's trying to come here as a free agent knows that, all right, Sam Darnold is the quarterback, or Tua is the quarterback here, or, you know, they're going to draft, you know, a top quarterback, Zach Wilson. I can help bring this young quarterback along. There needs to be some type of certainty there when you're a free agent trying to make a decision. And the best guys are going to make their decisions in the next 3 weeks. The best candidates are going to make their decision in the next 3 weeks. Yep. Yeah, and so there's going to be a cloud. There's going to be uncertainty here during that time period. That's going to eliminate some potential options that you might have otherwise gotten.
How much does and we're talking about here with the Texans, how real is this from a player's perspective? Like, in our minds, we could see, man, the Texans. And I remember Adam Schefter said this when Deshaun was having his situation, that many people around the league are saying the Texans are the least desirable place for players or coaches to go. And that's not surprising when you see what has happened down the line. I'm curious, from a player's perspective, how much does front office issues affect decisions on where guys are going, i.e. how much does a guy like Jack have in terms of decisions that players are going to make? Because I can see how a coach or who your quarterback's going to be. But is it overblown to think that front office issues could play a big part for certain players?
Listen, it could be a scenario. I look at it like this. For every two guys that says, man, I don't want to be there with Houston because I don't know what they got going on there. It's some weird stuff going on. The quarterback wants out. Why does he want out? Everybody's asking out of there. All this stuff. Every time I read and look up what's going on there is some type of dysfunction. But there, for every two, there's going to be one that says, oh, they fit a place that I'd want to be based off of what it's like when I go into the building. We believe the same things. We look at life the same way. We have the same approach. It's a cultural fit. And so, like I said, there is a way, there is a path for success. It's just extremely difficult to pull off when you eliminate too many candidates. That's why we talked about earlier about the Bradley Roby thing, letting him go. If you let Bradley Roby go because he's not a cultural fit, how do you reasonably explain that? You're making your job harder because you're getting rid of good players that are under good contracts, and now you have to replace that person. You have to replace the player. You can't just, you got to have a starting corner. And a starting corner that can play if you want to eventually win games. And so that's just, it's not overblown at all.
Especially
players that have options. Listen, there's going to be players that say, hey, this is the only opportunity I have. So, I'm going to take it. Whatever it is.
They've essentially made themselves Notre Dame and Stanford in terms of their ability to bring, like they can't bring in all of the same players because of their academic requirements coming out. It's tougher for them. Like Alabama can go and get anybody. Stanford and Notre Dame have some standards that are higher.
Right.
And the Texans, in even a bigger way, are doing that to themselves.
I think it would be more like
it appears.
I don't even know how to compare it, but at least what Stanford and Notre Dame is doing is it's because of academic excellence. Like I can never fault a program for promoting and pushing academic excellence. But at the bottom line of it, you're not going to be able to recruit from the same pool as everybody else because everybody cannot meet Stanford standards or they can't meet Notre Dame standards. But the stuff that went on here in Houston, this is just bad decisions and dysfunction that is unheard of. It's not like I can say it's such a positive thing that they're doing there, and that's why I can understand.
Yeah, it's stuff that they can control. You can't control what's happening at Stanford and Notre Dame. You can't control your admissions.
I'm an education guy. Like I'm not gonna ever hold it against the institution, but. No. I mean, I can hold it against the Texans, the decisions that they've been making.
They
control them, and they were very bad decisions that they had because of ego, because of hurt feelings and emotions, they made moves. That's a problem. And so, of course, there's going to be free agents. There's going to be people that could potentially come into the building that will keep that in mind.
All right, positive things, though, here. Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner. Clint's out. He is in his honeymoon, enjoying himself with his new bride. So Wade's in for him and be here tomorrow as well. But one thing y'all better be listening for, JJ, he is off to Arizona. He is a Cardinal. But don't worry. We're going to help pick you up. We're going to help try to make you feel better. We are giving away stuff. We're giving away 3 signed footballs. And more importantly, if you're listening to our show, we're giving one away on Friday. Listen at between 4 and 4:15. You can hear the JJ code word. There'll be a code word given. Listen between 4 and 4:15. And between 5 and 5:15, you'll have a chance to be able to take home that signed football from JJ Watt. It'll be a great thing that you can have on your mantle. One gift on the way out. We're going to hook you up here at Sports Radio 610 because that's what we do. Remember, between 4 and 4:15, you'll be listening on Friday. Listen on Friday for the code word, and then between 5 and 5:15, that's when you will have a chance to take that home. So we ain't going to just have JJ leave and not have something for you. We'll hook you up with a signed football. I've seen it. It's legit. I've seen
you
it.
I synced it.
I synced it. It's I legit.
Synced it. I synced that.
You, your chance will be there Friday at 4:15 and then at between 5 and 5:15 to be able to win that. I wanted to throw this out to both of you because now Tyler has seen this movie and we can have this conversation. Text line, you can jump in. Shame on you if you've never seen the first one. 713-572-4610. Are you all excited about Coming to America? Like the second one? The
Coming to America,
the way I have to. Are you excited about this new Eddie Murphy movie? The finally the sequel after 30 years. Are you excited about this?
Hell yes. I am. I don't know exactly what day it comes out. I think it comes out this weekend.
I think it's the 5th. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it comes out this weekend, like Friday maybe. I'm counting down the days. When they first had the first trailer, my wife and I jumped up and down and said, yeah, it's back. And I am not nervous about the performances in it because Eddie Murphy has done two or three movies back to back that have been great performances.
Yeah, he was shaky there for a second.
He was shaky for about six, seven. He was on an Adam Sandler type of trajectory
that
with his movie making. Yeah, it was bad.
Showtime run.
But, Dolomite, he did an excellent job in Dolomite. So I want to see him. I want to see him in Coming to America. I've seen the trailer. There's some funny scenes in it. I'm looking forward to the barbershop scene. It's a classic movie. I don't expect it to be better than the first one, but I expect it to be entertaining. It's the similar feeling I felt about Bad Boys. What's the new one called? The newest one is Bad Boy. It's four.
They should have never made another one.
That was a great movie. What are you talking about?
They should have stopped after one.
You didn't like the newest one they did.
I'm good after the other ones. They were bad movies. I watched them all.
No. The very last one. The one that they just did.
Yeah.
You didn't like that movie.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I felt like it was Bad Boys, I just got to a point where they just need to stop.
Okay.
To me, it was just too many. But Bad Boys is a good example of one where I felt like that first one stands alone. You just let it go. And Coming to America 1, I feel like we've extended too much time between them.
Well, you don't say Coming to America 1. It's just Coming to America.
I'm just saying Coming to America for 1, I feel like my first reasoning that I've been giving is I think there's too much time between them. Right? 30 years, like, you know, I mean, they're not even the same folks anymore. Arsenio is a completely different person. They're not the same folks. And second, like, it's such a good movie. Just let it stand. Like, when they were talking about making a second Old School, I was like, no, please don't do that. Just let it stand.
I would
want to
see that, though. I would want to see that.
No, you don't. You mess
it
up.
Why would you not want to see
it? Just let it stand.
Could you imagine Frank the Tank with kids that have grown up
and act
like Frank?
I want to imagine that Frank the Tank that was streaking naked.
He's still funny.
That's the Frank the Tank. I'm not saying it can't be funny. I'm not going to say there aren't going to be funny moments with Coming to America. That thing came out in 1988. Let's just let it live, man. Let's just keep rewatching that one. Like, there's so many beautiful moments. Like, look
so
at Tyler. He knows it.
No,
now.
I feel like this, though. If you had that line of thinking, then why is Cobra Kai so good? Cobra Kai is an excellent show.
Never seen it.
You're weird. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to call you weird and not the good weird. There's good weird. There's good weird and bad weird. That's bad weird. Cobra Kai is excellent. And they waited about 20, 30 years, just like you're talking about with Coming to America. Cobra Kai, if you don't have Netflix, you need to get it right now.
I go
just for that
every time.
Period.
Cobra
Kai is must-see TV.
Like, yeah, Fast and the Furious has too many sequels. That's my issue with Bad Boys, but just – I just wish Eddie just let it go. Just let it live. Let that puppy live. And if you were going to do a new one, like, do it as fast as like he did another 48 hours. Like, if you're going to do it, don't wait 30 years.
Fast and Furious, there's like 23 episodes of that. That's a little different.
That's
this is the second one. I think
And that's what's going to be. I'm going to be disappointed because I know it's not going to be as good as we had the Golden Arcs. Arches, they have the Golden Arcs. It's not going to be as good, and
You have to approach it the right way, though. You can't go into it and saying, I'm expecting this movie to be as good as the first one, because that would be damn near impossible to pull off. This is not Godfather 1 versus Godfather 2. That's very difficult to pull off.
Home Alone 2. You're right.
But I gotta say, man, like, I expect this movie to do well. I think it's going to be a good one.
I think it's going to do well. I'm disappointed. Just let it go. Hey, Houston's favorite son returns, and I know everyone's excited, and really big news coming from the Astros. We'll discuss that all coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.